LA is so perfect. And I'm like, oh my God. But like, when you don't feel so perfect and everything's perfect around you, that would be so weird for me. Hey everyone, this is Am I Allowed to Like Anything? The podcast that talks to people about their work, their lives, how they are maintaining their optimism in this world, and what they are actually loving in culture right now. I'm Darian Harvin. I'm a news curation editor and a digital media consultant, and also your local skincare addict. Before we get into this episode, I wanted to give you guys an update. I've been really hard at work for my live show of Am I Allowed to Like Anything that's going to be taking place on the South by Southwest podcast stage. If you'll be in Austin, it's on Sunday, March 11th at the Fairmont Hotel. I applied to be a part of South by Southwest podcast stage, not really expecting to get accepted, to be frank. I did it because the application process was relatively easy, and I felt like for that reason, there was no excuse not to apply. So I was really, really psyched, and just it made me very encouraged that I'm going to be opening up my podcast to a new community and to new people, and to also just kind of take this as a sign that this is something that people are curious of and want to hear about. So if you're wondering who my guest is going to be, I'm interviewing Saman Ashwari. Saman is a film director and a creative director. I met him a few years ago while I was working on Hardcover, which is a magazine I helped to produce. Saman is charismatic and thoughtful, and for those reasons, when I found out that he was going to South By, it dawned on me that this was a perfect time to have him on my show. Saman is from Texas, which I think is really dope. He is also a first-generation Palestinian-American, so I'm really excited to talk to him about that experience and also what it's like to work with some of hip-hop's biggest legends like Bun B. Did we figure out if it's Burress or Burris? And also Hannibal Burress. I feel like I'm saying it so wrong.
You just said it
Burris.
Right.
Burris. And also Hannibal Burress. Oh, now I'm saying it so weird. Hannibal Burress.
Burris.
Hannibal Burris. Hannibal Burris.
I think try putting a little bit more time between the first and last name.
Hannibal Burris.
Yeah.
Hannibal Burris.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
3, 2. And Hannibal Burris, who is not a rap legend, but I would consider him someone in hip-hop culture and in comedy culture. And so I'm really excited just to talk to Saman about his experience working in spaces that I'm really into. If you would like to come see me live, visit southbysouthwest.com, where you can purchase a badge to not only see me, but also a lot of the other inspiring conference sessions and people and music and film and other awesome stuff that's going to be happening in Austin. Whew, now let's get into this episode. This week I asked writer Laken Starling, who lives in New York, to meet me in the studio for an episode of Am I Allowed to Like Anything? Because she is out here in LA. Now, anyone who reads Laken's work, especially during her time at the Fader, I really feel like you could search her byline and, in my honest opinion, quite literally get a cultural education on the state of hip hop, especially with female rappers and R&B artists, and also get real advice on how to maintain your self-care. I sometimes don't think that we think that these two topics are related, but they definitely intersect, in my opinion. Laken really is someone who is writing about the world around her as honestly as possible. And you'll notice in this episode as well, I think she talks about the world around her as honestly as she can as well. So we talk about her life growing up in Philly, being an excellent interviewer herself, and why it's so important for her to treat the people who she interviews with care and with respect. We also drop our one essential skincare tip at the end of our conversation, so you'll want to stay tuned for that for sure. I really think that this is the kind of episode where I caught Laken in a positive and like transitional point in her life, so I think you'll really enjoy it. Remember that you can rate and subscribe to Am I Allowed to Like Anything on iTunes, and always join the conversation on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag AIATLA. Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two. Lakin.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Okay, actually, first of all, before we get started, tell me about your name.
Okay. So my name means the one who brings sunshine. I don't know what language it's from, but mm-hmm. I know it's like my name, like the meaning, that meaning is from a language in Benin.
Okay.
But my dad named me, like he used to work with like young mothers, like helping them like in terms of like getting their GEDs and like educational, like he worked for the school board in Philadelphia, like when I was really, really younger. And like one little girl just like took to him and he was like, if I have a daughter, I'm naming her Lakin. Amazing. And so he named me that. And then they like found out like what it meant.
That's so cool.
So, yeah.
I
shout
feel
out to
like
the original Lakin. It's her name with the E, not an I.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
I met
cool.
her randomly like later in life when I was a little girl. Like we were like out and he's like, oh my God, that's her.
Whoa, how old is she now?
She was a little older than me, so mm-hmm. I remember being, like, younger, and she was, like, at least, like, 4 years older than me, 3 years older than me, mm-hmm. so she's probably, like, 30.
Yeah, I feel like every year it seems like, especially now because on Instagram, my name is just Darian.
Yeah.
So sometimes people will reach out to me, and they'll be so excited to meet another Darian.
Really?
Like, yeah, like, some people reach out to me, and they just want my username. But some people,
right.
But some people reach out to me. Like, I've had a lot of men from the Middle East be like, your name is Darian. Like, where are you from? And everything. And, like, I've had, like, two men from Palestine reach out.
That's crazy.
And their names are spelled the same way as mine.
Wow.
And I'm blanking on what they've told me Darian means. Mm-hmm. I'll have to put it in the description, but it's so interesting like to discover new
yeah.
things about your name and new people too.
Yeah.
So we got on that sidetrack, which was needed.
Yeah.
But let me pull up this tweet. I think you already know what tweet I'm gonna ask you about. So this was 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So you're in LA. You've been in LA since almost for a week now.
Almost a week, yeah.
And it's also February 3rd.
Is it the 3rd?
It's the 3rd, which is the 3rd month or the 3rd day of Black History Month.
Yes.
And you said, this is so strange. I'm in LA and I don't want to leave. And you have, you know, you use a little emoji with the hand on the chin. Talk to me about that tweet, Lakin.
Okay, so usually when I come to LA, I'm like, like I'm missing something. You know what I mean? I'm like, mm-hmm. the weather is perfect. My best friends are here. My brother is here. I like all of these things that anyone would like when they come to LA.
Yeah.
But then I'm just like, where are all like, you know how in New York, like the, I guess like blackness, there's so much nuance. That
yeah.
you can easily just access.
Yeah.
And I feel like in LA, like, that's really important to me is to, mm-hmm. like, have those spaces where I can just be around, like, all kind of black people.
Right.
You know? And, like, yeah. in LA, I'm like, okay, this is just weird. Like, it's like, I've always been in very, like, isolated black experiences here. And
yeah.
everyone's not in the same room. So, like, that's, I think, been, like, a disconnect for me. And, like, also just, I don't know. Like, I'm really moody and, like, I need... Not moody, like, cranky, but, like, I'm just really emo. And, like,
yeah.
L.A. is so perfect that it, like, scares me because I'm, like, I need, like, some bad shit. Or I need,
like
something to humble me. Yeah, like, I need, like, to go outside and feel, like, the energy that I get from where I live can, like, understand where I'm at sometimes.
Wow.
And I feel like, like, I know I can be, like, sad and stuff, and that I'm okay with that. Like, that's a part, like, that's me, like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and LA is so perfect, and I'm like, oh my God. But like, when you don't feel so perfect and everything's perfect around you, I feel like that would be so weird for me. Like, you know what I mean? It's like in
yeah.
New York, it's like, let's
oh,
say,
I never even thought about that. So
yeah,
true.
I'm so emotionally driven. That's probably why, like, I'm super
yeah,
irritating.
I'm kind of like the opposite. I'm not that I'm not emotionally driven,
yeah.
but I've never thought about that before.
Yeah.
Or like, now I'm going to be thinking about how I deal with that now that I live here.
Right.
Because
the
idea.
Weather, like, the thing about it is, like, when I come here, it's like what I need at that time. It's like, oh my God, yes, I need to be in the sun. I need to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to eat, like, all this fresh food that, like, I can make at home, but, like, pay way too much money for it.
Right.
But then I'm like, all year round, it's 78 degrees. Like, I hate the cold, but it's
right.
like, I could do a little fall weather. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, seasons
right.
sort of just signal, like, change for me. Or, like,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know. That's, like, a thing that
yeah.
I am always like, I don't know. Or it just feels
so this time
curated.
Around, did you feel a little differently?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, because this time, so I was here for a whole week, which is the longest I've ever, like, just been in LA.
Yeah.
And I'm freelancing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my best friend, she's in grad school. She's an RN. Like, she's been, like, kind of busy during the week. So it's, like, I've really just been, like, okay, like, today I'm going to meet up with some friends that I usually never have time to see here and, like, just kick it with them.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I had, like, the first day I was here, like, I went to Simply Wholesome, which is, like, my, like, tradition when I come to LA because I need that. I need that, like, cultural, like,
yeah.
Like, I need to be held.
Wait, what is Simply Wholesome?
So, Simply Wholesome is this restaurant on Slauson and Overhill, I think. And okay. It's, like, near View Park. And it's a Black-owned spot. And they have, like, healthy food, like, just, like, healthy food. Not, like, soul food, but, like, if you're a vegetarian or you just want to eat healthy, like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can find all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Are you a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then they have, like, a supermarket that's also connected to it. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, one of those, like, cultural, like, you can tell that it's, like, a staple. Like, when I was there, like, Stevie Wonder came in and just, like, sat down and ate. Like, yeah. But it's, like, so community level. Like,
yeah.
Just... So, So every time I come to LA, I'm like, I gotta go to Simply Wholesome because I need that. Like,
right.
Because I don't be seeing that in LA, you know? Like, where are... Yeah.
I also feel like a part of that, too, something that I haven't been able to put my finger on. Mm-hmm. So, I've been here since November. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah. I've enjoyed my time here. I don't think, for me personally, I don't think I could have done another New York winter.
No, it's like, that's the thing. I can't do it anymore.
Right. Like, so it was good. Like, I feel like I was meant to be here.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's, like, a missing piece mm-hmm. that I miss about New York.
Yeah.
But it's so nuanced that I haven't been able to identify
that's
it yet.
That's the thing.
It's beyond, like, a pace thing. Like,
right. The pace, I'm good on the pace.
Right.
Like, I think when you... At a certain point in New York, it's like, you know, you're like, I'm moving fast, so I'm trying to make shit happen. And then now I'm like, okay, I see that I can make shit happen, so I don't need this pace to, like, validate. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
anything.
That I know how to, like, work.
Exactly.
I'm good on the pace. It's honestly just the weather.
Yeah.
Because, like, the rent is high here. You probably do get more of a bang for your buck. You know what I mean?
I do feel that way. I feel like I'm getting more, me personally.
More space.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you might have central air. Like, you know? Yeah.
Revelation. Okay. So this is a question I ask all my guests. Mm-hmm. What was life like for Lakin growing up?
Okay. So I grew up in Philly,
mm-hmm.
which is very much a part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't realize it until I, like, leave. Because when I'm there, I feel, like, weird. I feel like, oh, I haven't been living here for, like, since high school, you know, like, and if you count, like, winter breaks in college or summer breaks, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like, when I go home and I'm, like, with my cousins and, like, my siblings, I'm like, I feel like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like, ooh, like, I just feel like I'm missing out on stuff or, mm-hmm. like, they're more Philly than me now. Because I've just lived in, like, Atlanta, you know what I mean? All these places.
Right,
so, like,
right.
When I, now, like, that I don't live there, it's, like, a big part of me. But, yeah, growing up, I grew up in Philly. I had 5 siblings. We all didn't grow up together. But I grew up mainly, like, from, like, childhood to adolescent with 2 of my brothers. And mm-hmm. then... My sister came in, like, a little later, like, around 11, 12.
Okay.
And I have a little brother. So
okay.
He's, like, but he, we're 12 years apart. So
okay.
Like,
and then you have one really tall brother.
That's my little brother.
That's your youngest brother?
He's 14.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's so tall.
I know. He's, like, 6'4". He's a basketball player. He's a star.
Very cool.
But, yeah, so growing up was cool because, like, for a while my parents were married. And even mm-hmm. when they got divorced, they're really good friends.
Mm-hmm. That's how my parents are, too.
Yeah. Like, they're cool. They're really tight. So it was cool because I feel like I was the youngest and I was like, the youngest girl. So, like, mm-hmm. I think I definitely – my dad just had, like, a sweet spot for me, like, when I was younger. And so we just are really close. Like, mm-hmm. we're just very compatible. Like, we're just very close. So I had a really cultural upbringing, but it was also nuanced. Like,
yeah, like, talk to me more about that.
So Philly is, like, Philly, I always say Philly is, like, neo-soul capital. Like, most neo-soul artists come out of Philly. Like,
for sure.
Pretty much all of them. It's kind of, like, where, between there and D.C. is where it, like, bubbled. Mm-hmm. So I grew up, like, knowing who I am, like, knowing a lot about my blackness, and a lot about just, like, the way that, like, I, you know, like, show up in the world. And, like, I feel like the foundation was really strong.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, so Neo Soul was kind of a part of that, helping you to identify that in a way?
I just use that as, like, a way to describe, like, that feeling.
You
know what I mean?
Got
like,
you.
That type of blackness.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But then also, like, with that, I was just, like, really encouraged to just express myself.
Mm-hmm. By, like, your parents?
Yeah. And, like, my dad is creative. My dad is a professional, like, storyteller. He's, like, a folklorist. He plays, like, a bajillion, like, traditional African instruments. So, like, I was always in a creative space. Like, you know, my dad can write. Like, so it's like all those things that I love to do now, like, were just like cultivated in a very natural way. Like, it wasn't like forced on me. It was just like I always like loved to read. Like, I had a really like also very academic, like, you know, like my parents did not play about school, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I think like growing up, like my upbringing definitely has helped. It was like a roadmap for me. You know what I mean? Like, so now it's like I know whatever way I go, like I can always, I come back to those values.
I see.
Yeah.
And you went to NYU?
No, I went to, so I went to Spelman for undergrad.
Why did I think you went to NYU?
I did a semester abroad with NYU in Ghana, maybe.
But I went
to Columbia for grad school.
Yes.
Maybe that's why.
And you went to Spelman, which I should have known. And that's how you know Soleil, who has been on this podcast. Soleil is one of the first 10, am I allowed to like anything guests. I met Soleil. Tight. She's so tight.
Yeah.
I met Soleil when she was going to Columbia, but she did a semester at Spelman.
Right.
But I just always remember her talking about how transformative that semester was for her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you love Spelman?
I love Spelman. Mm-hmm. I love Spelman. It's crazy because I was like, I'm going to Howard. Like, I got into Howard. I had like bought this like future Howard girl shirt. And then I like went to Spelman has this thing called Spellbound. I didn't think I was going to get in because my best friend didn't get in. And I just thought she was smart. Smarter than me, so I was like, well shit, if she didn't get in, like I'm not gonna get in. But I don't know, whatever. Spelman has a weird little way that they select their students, so I was like super shocked.
Yeah.
And then I went down for Spellbound, which is like the like admitted students little weekend they have, and I was like, oh, I'm coming here. Like,
right.
Because I thought it was going to be, like, super, like, bougie. Like, you know what I mean? All things you probably think that Spelman is. But then you get there and you're like, nah. It's just, like, every single kind of black woman is here. It's, like, a place that's, like, specially tailored for, like...
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so Spelman was amazing. Everything I feel like I learned in school, like, grad school, I don't really think I learned anything. But, like, I don't know. It's more of... I feel like it was, like, a moral education. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and
also with... the strong academic, it was just like, yeah, it's transformative.
It was like a blessing.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to grad school at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
You started to, you were an intern at the Fader.
So when I started at Columbia,
I keep all fucking shit up. No,
you're not wrong.
Okay,
so like,
I'm like, what the fuck?
No, you're not wrong.
Am I like pulling this out of thin air?
No, I was a fellow.
You were a fellow.
Yeah. So
okay.
I started that fellowship last year at J School, Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah, like top of the year.
How did you know? Okay, because this is wrong and it's, and it's probably problematic, but I'm going to say it going to say it anyways.
Yeah.
So when I think about J School, when people go to Columbia for J School, I feel like they typically want to write for the New York Times, or they want to do like deep investigative work, or they have these very... these sects of journalism that they want to go into, that to me, when I think about the Fader, and I feel like I've talked about it so many times on this podcast and how much I love the Fader and what it represents and the music elements of the Fader and how they put good rappers and artists on.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, someone in at Columbia J School
does not fit.
Right, it doesn't
fit. I did not fit there.
For me, yeah. So I want to talk, like, how did you know that you wanted to be a fellow at the Fader while going to J School at Columbia?
So honestly, for one, I feel like, so I went to, Spelman was liberal arts, right? So I never really had, like, a college, I had, like, one journalism class. I don't even remember. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so... I was just kind of lost in the sauce in terms of, like, I knew I wanted to write about music. Like, I knew I wanted to be a journalist. Like, that was never not what I wanted to do.
Okay.
But I was just like, how do I do this? Like, I don't think I had the confidence. I was just like, I know I'm a good writer. I know a lot about music. I know I'm smart. But, like, how do I get the techniques to just, like, you know what I mean? Like, approach this. So I'm like, okay, I definitely can learn more.
Yeah.
And you know with journalism, it's hard to just, like, start working somewhere and learn shit, you know?
Right.
So... I knew at J School, I was always like, oh, like, y'all are so boring. Like, I was just, like, always, like, the oddball in class. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, I want to write about this. And they'd be like, my thesis was on, like, street cred and hip-hop and, like,
cool,
defining that. And, like, people were writing about their favorite diners and shit. And I'm like, y'all are wasting opportunity, which I also realized is, like, a privilege thing, too. It's like, I was like, I'm going to milk this situation,
right,
you know?
Right.
So... yeah, I knew I was not trying to be anywhere like a lot of people wanted to be data journalism, or the Times was like the biggest aspiration. And I'm like, that's just not me. Like, not to say that it wouldn't be me, but like, I knew that I needed to have a way more like DIY experience that would allow me to just like grow.
Right.
So I was interning another publication, had this story that they were supposed to run for me and that they never did. And so I was like, let me just pitch the theater. Like, I want to work there. Let me just see. And like, shout out to Ruth Saxelby. She was the managing editor there. She was like, hit me back like immediately, like, oh, great, we'll take this. And I was like, what?
What was it? What was the pitch?
It was literally this piece on like 10 Ghanaian like Afropop, Afrobeats artists you need to know.
Love it.
And you know that's like some fader stuff. But I was just like, I don't know. Like, maybe they'll take it. They probably already have something like this. So that's how I like first got my first little byline. And then I did another essay about like what it's like to be... Oh, no. I interviewed, you know, Elise Peterson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Elise has been in this podcast, too. Yes.
And she was my second fader piece. And then I did, like, an essay on, like, what it's like to be, like, a Philadelphia rap fan. So I was just like, I'm going to pitch him. And they always, like, liked my stuff. Yeah. So then I was like, let me just ask, like, are y'all hiring? Like, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to work here. Like,
y'all hiring?
What y'all got for me? So I hit her, Ruth, like, yeah, like, basically, like, what do y'all have? And she's like, oh, it's not online, but we have a fellowship. Hit up Miles Tanzer. Miles is the news editor there.
Yes.
And so Miles, I had coffee with Miles, and then, like, he called me hour later, like, actually, like, I don't want to look anymore. Like, when do you want to start? So I was like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so
that really speaks to your talent.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Yes. I was just like, okay. So I was super nervous, but I just, like, turned on my Spelman brain, like, okay, right. Like, you need to turn up. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I don't know what's going to happen with this, but you need to turn up. So, like, I had it was a three-month fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're like, but I was doing pretty much what I did as a staff writer. Like, I was literally staying at work late, like, trying to finish grad school, trying to secure something for when I was done. And so then they extended it 3 more months, and they're like, we're trying to figure, you know, what we're going to do with you. And then I got hired as staff writer. So I really just busted my ass at Fader.
Right.
To, like, secure a spot, because it's really small, you know what I mean?
It's really not small, like, staff.
Yeah, it's just a very, like, intimate, special, like, tight-knit media space that doesn't really exist like in other places.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. So I just knew I had to work there because I was like, this is like, also Fader allowed me to just grow and like allow me to write about what I really cared about and like did not ever try to filter me or, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I knew that J School was like, whatever, this is
like you pretty much already had a job.
Yeah. I was so bored in J School.
So, okay. While you were at the Fader, what was your mission / like agenda as a writer?
Mm-hmm.
To me, when I think about the jobs that I have had within media, especially when I was at BuzzFeed and I was a news curator, like one of the things I really wanted to make sure, in addition to like making sure that like my voice per se on the BuzzFeed Twitter is not the voice on my personal Twitter.
Right.
And like, I shouldn't try to, like, I'm not about to be on the BuzzFeed Twitter and be like, it's lit. Like, I'm not
right, cause
gonna
that's not
do
BuzzFeed.
That. Cause that's not BuzzFeed and that's gonna look corny as shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Y'all
so like,
dragged.
Yeah, we get dragged for that. Granted, I am a black girl.
Right, but BuzzFeed is not a black girl.
Yeah, but BuzzFeed is not a black girl. But it was really important for me to like, use my experience as a woman, as a black woman,
right.
Also like as a black woman who grew up around a lot of people who actually didn't look like me. I had my first black professor, like teacher, educator when I was in college.
Right, right.
In like just using my perspective of the world as like an asset in the newsroom and also like the way that I explained news to others.
Right.
Especially during this time where like people want to read about identity more. Mm-hmm. People are reading about race more and I think that people are reading more about people who don't look like them.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really focused on like how could I contribute to that even though I wasn't writing and I didn't have bylines, right?
Right, right, right.
And so that's what I think about. And so for you, like from what you told me so far, you were writing a lot about obviously like music and the things that you enjoyed and you have like very like good specific pitches that were great for the Fader.
Right.
But to go back to my question, like, while you were there, did you have like a mission or agenda that just had to do with like what you wanted to see more of?
For sure. I think when I first started there, I was just like pumping out, like I was just figuring out what's your thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was just like just interviewing anybody that I ever wanted to interview, because that's another thing, my favorite, it's like, call them up, you know what I mean? Right. If it makes sense, do it. So like, I feel like a moment that shift for me, like when I was like, oh, I see this shit, is when I interviewed Kimora Lee Simmons. That was when I was like, oh, like you really are trying to magnify the work of like Black people, but especially like women. Mm-hmm. And like you're trying to make sure that everyone, you know what I mean, like gets it. Like you're going to read this and you're going to know that this is like, you know what I mean? This is the truth. Like, yeah, you know, so it's like I just like tying in culture was like is my thing as well. So I feel like at first I obviously knew like I was writing about Black women. Like I was, because that was just like that's what needed to also be done. Like it wasn't. There needed to be more of that on Fader, I think. Mm-hmm. They were doing a great job, but I was like, okay, I'm also like young, you know what I mean?
And
like
commit to that, like
right.
Commit to this beat in a way.
Yeah, and like, beat, yeah, I'm like living this, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I would say within like the last year, it was just so clear that my mission was to tell stories about Black women like with so much nuance, because like just being a writer about music and just seeing how Black women are just like, our identities are just so isolated, like mm-hmm. in terms of like, I don't know, like women rappers, like, you know what right. I mean? It's like people, like I would cringe watching like some artists get interviewed and I'd be like, damn, like why didn't they ask her this? You know, like,
right.
or why did they totally miss opportunity to like go in and like talk about that one thing? But it's just like, sometimes people just like, don't have the range, like they right. just that's not they're not thinking that way.
I literally was about to say they don't have the range.
They don't have the range. So I made it a thing. It's like I want people to, for one, like feel so comfortable and like safe with me, like mm-hmm. you know, men and women, but like whoever I'm talking to, I want them to feel like they can honestly like trust me. So like that's honestly at the foundation of like the mission that I had there, was to create like safe spaces, not so much even on the site, but like with the actual subjects, because yeah. I realized like a lot of artists, like they do this all the time. It's like, who's, you know what
right,
I mean?
Like, right. Like how can you, and that's like the other battle yeah. too, I feel yeah. is it's like, how can you kind of ignite something in them where right. they want to talk to you
right.
and they want to open up. Mm-hmm. And that's a skill in itself.
Yeah. And I'm learning that like, that's something that I'm really good at. And like because I feel like even when in life, like people always like tell me their whole, like all their business. And I'm like, oh my God, I did not want to know all this. Like,
right.
But people would just be telling me, I'm like, okay. Like,
Did you feel that way with your cover story with Kalayla?
Yes. But that was really special because,
yeah,
like it was an exchange. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, I do feel like a lot of times my stories, like I never want to put myself into them. But, like, I do feel like a lot of the stories that stand out to me have been exchanges between me and that person. It's like,
right.
we're having a conversation that's on the record, but it's like, we're actually just, like, talking, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, the cover story was a great example of that, especially between two Black women, like, who kind of are navigating similar things and, like, on different spectrums of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, always trying to resist against, like, these powers that be trying to like tell us what to do.
Yeah.
You know,
authority is weird.
White men. so it's like yeah. yeah.
How long did you work at the Fader?
So I was there for 2 years, including my fellowship, but okay. like as a staff writer, a year and a half.
Okay.
But I say 2 years because like all that was work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff's on fader.com.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think like for me, when you had like tweeted out that mm-hmm. you and some other
yeah.
like Fader like staff had gotten laid off,
yeah.
I think I was shocked. Mm-hmm. Well, I know I was shocked because to me, you were doing such essential work yeah. there, but it's such a like a horrible reminder that like even when you are there are things within media that are just gonna happen.
Yeah. yeah.
So like how did that feel and how are you processing and working through that now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, like just to get personal, but I'm just being real.
Right,
like,
right, please.
So the end of August, my brother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
One of my brothers passed away.
Okay. Was he older, younger?
Older.
Okay.
So, like, that was crazy, you know?
Right.
So So I have been like, but he passed away, like, and I had just reported Kalela. So I had to write a cover story. Right. Like, I can't hold up the magazine.
Right.
So I, like, somehow, the man gave me, like, another 2 weeks. I was like, I just need, a couple days to, like, gather myself. So I did that. And then, like, I just, it was like, I couldn't stop. You know what I mean? I was just like, dang, I have so much work to do. Like, I didn't have that many vacation days left. You know, mm-hmm. I was trying to save them for a trip that I wanted to take. So it was like, I was burnt out.
Right.
And I don't think anyone, you probably couldn't look at my work and see that. But, like, I was just not happy. Like, you know, I was really struggling with, like, anxiety and, like, depression and, like, grieving and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was
how much time did you end up taking off?
Like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, well, when he passed away, I had a good 2 weeks off of work where I just, like, did not,
Yeah.
And then, but I had to write the story.
Right.
So I wrote it from home.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, yeah, like, I came back to work, like, after 2 weeks.
And just started writing again.
Yeah. Like, granted, my team was so supportive of me and was not like trying to burn me out, but like when you have a small staff, you know what I mean, it's like, and I care about my job, it's
right.
like I'm still gonna feel like I have to be doing that, you know what I mean, like
right.
it's just unhealthy, but like that's just also how I am. I'm just like, can't right. be too idle when it's like, but I knew that I needed to like take a break, but I just felt like I can't, like I don't have an option, you know what I mean, I have to go to work. So it's
right.
like I also felt like, yeah, so that was, like, a big thing. I think I had just been, like, just, like, praying about and, like, trying to just, like, manifest. Like, I need a break in some way or shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what that's going to look like, but, like, I need to take time for myself.
Right.
So I had, like, been feeling that energy, like, just really strong. Like, so I was, like, preparing myself for something to happen, like, weirdly. Like, you know, I was just, like, I don't know.
Before your brother passed, you felt
after,
like, or after?
After, okay. Yeah. I was just, like, and I also felt like I had done so much at Fader in such a short time. Like, you know, it was like I never would have thought that I would have written a cover story. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had seen, like, senior editors who I, like, love, who are brilliant. Just and for whatever reason, they just, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
just didn't write one. And that's
right.
not to say that they weren't capable or, like, it's, you know what I mean? They just didn't. So I just always was like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get there. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm a staff writer. I'm a writer.
Not to detract too
mm-hmm.
much, but why was the decision made for you to write that cover story on Kalela?
Well, Ruth, she really, like, had been really wanting that cover story for a while. And it was just about timing. You know, you're just like,
right.
Kalela's album was finally coming. Like, you know, it was like her stuff was just aligning as well. So it was like the perfect timing. And honestly, I thought Ruth was going to write it. You know what I mean?
Because, right.
like, that was her baby. Like, that was her
right.
passion pitch. So I was surprised. But I think that she just thought that I was great in interviewing, knew that I would just connect with
right,
the piece.
With
like,
her, yeah.
Yeah, really, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
But,
okay, cool.
But yeah, oh, wait, so getting laid off.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just burnt out. And I felt also like, okay, maybe am I being too safe? You know what I mean? Am I playing it safe? Because, like, you, the thing about Fader is, like, it's such a special place, like, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, the editorial team. Like we're, those are, like, my lifelong friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're, like, legit my people, you know? So it's, like, you feel like, oh, my God, you know that as a Black person or person of color, if you're going to go into another media room, like, you're going to have to probably deal with an editor, you know what I mean, who may not quite understand or may not be able to pick out those things that, you know, that can propel your writing even more because,
mm-hmm.
not even because they're Black, but just because, like, they are, they're just aware, you know what I mean? They just, like,
right.
care so much about getting
right.
it right and, like,
right.
taking the time to just, like, also learn and you know what I mean, like, and it's just like you feel like even though things can be super fucked up, but it's like we always had each other,
right?
So like a lot of times it just be hard to think like, oh my God, like, would I even be able to be like successful at this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just having those kind of thoughts like, I don't know, man. Like, okay, I know when a change has to happen. Like, I always feel it. Like, I just
wow.
I literally
yeah.
feel it in my body. Like, okay, like, you're about to, like, you need to push yourself or you need to just, like, stop. So, like, that week I had been having conversations with, like, some of my friends at work, you know, just, like, I don't know. I just feel like I need something's gonna shift. So when it happened, I knew that it was gonna happen. I was
yeah.
like, you know, as it was happening, I was like, all right, I'm probably gonna get laid off too. You know what I mean? And then I got laid off and I was like, I'm okay. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, a little, you know, I felt upset because I was like, dang, you know, I mainly was sad because I know that I didn't realize how many women and like just people in general like read my stuff
mm.
until I tweeted that tweet.
I see.
And it had like over 2,000. Like, I was just like, what? Like,
right.
And people were just like literally just saying the nicest stuff to me about how much they love my work and how important it is and like how I created a space for them. And I'm just like, damn, you know? So I was sad about that because I was like, dang, I hope that they can still, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, dang, I felt...
Just like your work.
And, yeah, I felt bad that, like, those people wouldn't have things to read from me for a little while. Or on Fader, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like... But then I also felt, like, super inspired by that. And it's like, okay, Fader, great. Love everyone there on editorial team. But it's just like, my work comes from me, too. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I had to also realize, like, everything that I've done at this place comes from within me. So it's like, I can still carry that. I'm going to still do this work regardless. It's not going to stop here.
Right.
But yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I feel relieved. I feel really good. Like, and I never thought that I would ever be able to say that because I love my job.
You seem like, it seems like a thing where... You obviously loved it. And I think that's what made me feel so heartbroken.
Because,
I loved that you liked what you were doing. Yeah. So my question now is, I love to ask this question. I don't always ask it, but what is your dream right now? Mm. Like, now that you're in this new space and maybe you have some time to like reinvigorate some new ideas you have or new projects you want to do, like what do you think the future holds for you?
Yeah. So I've been really like, I mean, I've obviously always loved Oprah, but like I've really been on my Oprah beat. Like I've just been like, because I've always like joked about this with my friend, just like, damn, like Oprah really asked the hard questions.
Right.
And there aren't places where artists can go and like also be poured into while being interviewed, you know what I mean? Like, so I know that that's like one of my gifts now. I'm confident in that.
Mm-hmm.
So my dream is to continue really like also writing, but really like magnifying that gift and like really trying to figure out how I can create a space for people to like come tell me about whatever they're working on, but also, you know what I mean? It's like, there's a monopoly right now with media where it's like you have two radio stations you can go to and tell them things and they probably like won't even ask you the right questions.
Like, they're no like shade, probably like, have no that's like that's I don't not even like shade that. That's like the it's, truth.
Yeah, I don't like it. You know, I don't like how women are treated on those shows like at all. So it's like my dream is to continue to like make people feel good and also tell the stories that are really like not being told. And also get the answers that people need. You know what I mean?
That too.
Yeah, I have to get the receipts. Like, but yeah, and the way that I don't know. I just want to be really intentional about that.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's like my dream right now is to keep writing, but to really be like being a badass interviewer.
Yeah.
And then, and
I feel like we have similar goals in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like definitely my big thing right now is I want to carve a lane for myself as like a good moderator or like I feel like there's so many like crazy fucked panels that happen.
There are.
And I'm just why is this like what?
Yes.
But if the moderator was good or if it was like more of a fireside one-on-one chat.
Right.
Like when I just feel like whenever I would do these kinds of talks, like I did something with 444 at NYU and that was related to like women's relationship to that album and it was like I did so much research and like in things that I felt like I needed to do for that to be good and to serve the audience and like I just think that that is needed
absolutely
in what we do obviously and not just thinking about these spaces as like oh people are gonna come and like hear
no you need
let's
offer.
Get down to the point
and you want to you just want to give people like the best setup possible to talk about shit, you know?
Yeah.
And you also want to like, do the research, like know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I also feel like my dreams now are like, because I'm so work oriented and because I'm like, I'm also like, after not working at Fader anymore, which is where a lot of people would be like, oh, Lakin from Fader. You know what I mean? Like, I always want my identity to be based on my gifts, not where I'm sharing them.
A the fuck.
You know? So I'm like, I feel so good about like me right now. And I usually do, but this is like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm in a really like good place because even though right now things are so unsure and like a month ago, I would have been like, what do you mean I don't have a job? You know what I mean? But like, blessings are just coming to me.
Amazing.
And it's just like, I know it's a product of like me just like putting that into the universe. And so it's like my dreams are like beyond my next job, or like
it's beyond that. Yes. It's not even about that, really.
Yeah, it's like I want to literally just be a great person, and I just want to like grow like spiritually, like, you know. So like I'm trying to have a holistic like glow up, basically.
Got you. All right, let's get into a plus one segment.
Okay,
this is a time where you can shout out a person, place, thing, or experience that you just are loving right now.
Okay,
do you think you have an idea?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, love it.
All right, so I was telling this story earlier and then I like didn't got sidetracked. But okay, so on Monday. Wait, first I want to say her name. I want to shout out Imani. She is a psychic card reader.
Yes.
Like astrologer. Yes, in LA.
Oh, I need to.
Her Instagram name is The Hood Healer, right? So I met her. Okay, so my friend Candace, she's from LA. She's my big sister. I haven't seen her. I actually saw her a little while ago, but like not in LA, you mm-hmm. know? So she's like, come through to something wholesome. My friend's giving readings tomorrow. And I know that you are in a transition right now and she'll get you right. So I'm always here for a good reading. Like right. that's definitely a part of like my, you know what I mean? Like
right.
my life. I need right. those things. Check mm-hmm. in. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, cool. Like I begin readings, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. I need one anyway. Like bet. So I'm thinking it's going to be something slight. Like, so I get there and we do a tarot reading. And when I tell you that this, like her gift was like, so I've had readings before that I've been like, whoa. But she was so specific. Like, so specific. Like, knew things that, like I mean, like, she knew the name of my grandmom's neighborhood.
What?
In Philly. Didn't even know I was from Philly. Didn't know, like, she, yeah, she gave me, like, such confirmation that, like, the path that I'm on is, like, what I think is happening is definitely happening. And she, like, gave me, like, confirmation about my brother. Like, it was just, my brother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, like, I was so, like, just moved by that experience that I was like, all right, I'm telling all my friends. She does, okay, right. She has free readings on Tuesdays at Simply Wholesome all day long.
Whoa.
From, like, 11 a.m. to, like, 10 p.m.
Oh, my God. I know what I'm doing next Tuesday.
Go get your, yeah, it's like, the most beautiful, like, I don't know, man. I've experienced shit like that, because I feel like I also sometimes have those, like, that gift and those powers, but, like, never on that level.
Right. I have to follow
you
her
You know
right
how
now.
That's Arabian, like, looks, and she's like, she sees some shit and she brings it back to you? That's Imani. Like,
wow.
On that level.
Oh, my God.
And
just
it's
followed
so,
her.
Yeah, it's so, like, seamless and, like, just so honest.
Yeah.
Like,
she's, like, sure of her gifts, honestly.
Yeah, and even obviously. When she's, like, she may not be so, she might be like, what is this? Am I right? Why am I seeing this? You know what I mean? It's like, it's not someone just like, this is going to happen to you. It's like,
right.
She doesn't have that conviction, but she also like, it's really just going, she's seeing it and like experiencing it as she's giving you your reading.
Right.
She's amazing. So she impacted me so much. So that was like my first full day in LA. So I've been on this, I swear, like since then, like I have attracted the most like beautiful people, like such good energy. Like,
yeah.
Just all kind of, like, abundance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then so that day I was, like, telling my best friend, I'm like, girl, like, you need to come down here. What time do you get off work? Like, I spent hours at Simply Wholesome, like, just at the damn yeah. restaurant, like, on the deck, just chilling, you know? And so she's like, okay, I'm going to come. So the next day I'm like, oh, wait, she's having a full moon ritual gathering. So that was also crazy because the day after was, like, the lunar eclipse.
Right.
Which is, like, anything that happened, the solar eclipse comes back around. The solar eclipse was when my brother passed away. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wow, not a coincidence that I'm getting all this clarity about all, you know, all these things that kind of started, like, when I started going through this weird, angsty, like,
mm-hmm.
all of that is, like, settling now. You know what I mean? So
right.
the next day, we went to her, the gathering. My best friend came with me, so my friends came with me, and they got readings too, and theirs were on point. So
and
like,
they were blessed too.
I just gotta shout out Imani. Like, she's amazing. She also does FaceTime readings.
Whoa.
Yeah. So oh hopefully she's gonna come to New York this summer, and I'm gonna try to, like, I don't know, collaborate with her on something.
Yeah.
Like, host some kind of space with her. So yeah, she is the shit. Like,
wow. Shout out to Imani.
Shout out to Imani.
See you soon, girl.
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to shout out some newsletters that mm-hmm. I've been loving. I'm a big newsletter person, but I feel like the newsletters that I should be reading are not the ones I read.
Right.
Like, the ones I read are definitely, they're, like, not the newsy ones that give you the rundown. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have a voice and a personality behind them that I absolutely love, and the food newsletters.
Yes.
So, like, I fuck with all the food newsletters. Yeah. I'm, like, up on all of the food restaurant gossip between all of the
For
chefs.
Real? Which one?
Like, I read the Eater. Like, Eater has one.
Oh, okay.
I think I love Reader's content. Or Eater. I'm sorry.
Eater.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Not Reader. Eater. And so I really like their, like, news, and then they'll do the maps and the heat maps. So there's that I open because, like, it's food.
Yeah, you need to know, always know
about food. Right.
You got to eat.
Yeah. And so, but then I was thinking this morning about my plus one as I was, like, doing my skincare regimen.
Yes.
And
your skin's always glowy.
Your skin looks really good right now.
Thank you.
Like,
my best friend, I stole some of her toner today. I've been using
her
toner.
Tell me the one thing that you swear by. Because we can't even get into skincare right now.
I literally have the most basic-ass skincare routine. Like,
okay, love it.
For one, it's just
simple.
Yeah, for me, it starts with food.
Amen.
So I know, but I say that as a person who doesn't have, like, difficult skin. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because I know some people, like, they need more than that.
Right.
For me, a person with a normal skin type, I don't eat meat. I eat, drink water. I sometimes eat fish, like, here and there. But, like, not a lot. I eat a lot of greens. Like, and I could do better, all that. You know what I mean? But right. I definitely know that when I eat dairy, especially, I don't eat dairy. Mm-hmm. When I do try to eat some cheese, like, I get a pimple immediately. Like, immediately.
I love cheese.
I do too. But yeah. I'm like, girl, playing yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I would just say, like, hydrate and eat really well. So I really just use, like, black soap.
Okay.
But then
that's crazy because for some people, black soap is like the end all be all. And for some people,
it dries them out.
Yeah. And it's not for them.
My skin's a little oily.
Okay.
So I was using my best friend. She's like also getting her skincare stuff now. So I'm like fake skincare person. So I'm like, what's this, girl? So I've been using her her fresh rose water toner.
Okay.
And that's been so good since I've been here. Like, my skin has, like, not felt as, like, oily.
Okay, cool.
I want to get into, like, using essential oils.
Yeah, I just started using some essential oils.
Which ones do you use?
Well, right now I'm using... Okay, so are you familiar with The Ordinary?
Mm-mm.
A lot of people really like the product from The Ordinary that is... It's a vitamin C. I'm actually wearing some of it right now. What is really dope about The Ordinary is they have basically just taken, like, molecules and vitamins and oils and are just, like, selling them in that form for very cheap. Like, they are selling also, like mixtures of things too that are really popular.
Oh.
Like retinoids, or have you heard of retinol before?
Yeah.
Like, retinol, for people who don't know, is essentially, it's like a cream, or it can come in different forms that helps to prevent wrinkles. And really just, like, when you start to use it, it purges your skin of dead skin, of pimples.
Oh.
At first it makes you a little dry, but once
it's
you,
like,
continue,
an astringent kind of,
it's no, it's not really like an astringent. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like a more of like a serum, or at first I was using it as in like a cream base.
Right.
It can be a little grainy. You wear it at night. It can make your skin very, very dry at first. So you have to use a lot of moisturizer. It's typically very expensive, upwards of $100 to $200.
Oh, wow.
The Ordinary is selling it for like $13.
What?
So that's what I'm saying when...
I need to really get up my skincare because... Yeah, I've been feeling like you can do more. Like,
yeah, and then sometimes you don't have to, though. Like,
yeah.
I just am really into it, and I'm into learning about it, and it's just, like, a particular passion to me that I'm, like, thinking of ways that I can expand on it. But they, for me, I would say, like, my one product right now that I'm loving is they sell this vitamin C with vitamin F in it, and so it's kind of in, like, an oily base, so... I just feel like it automatically brightens my skin.
Yeah, I like the oils.
Yeah, so like that, or that one's not particularly an oil, but this morning I put on, I believe it's called like a manula oil, and it's an oil that's already like naturally kind of like found on your face in some.
Oh, okay.
And there's also another one called squalene. I think actually squalene is the one where it's like the oil is essentially like already found in your face, but let's say you're really dry, or you're looking to just not recreate, but if you're looking to help to rebuild your natural oil barrier,
right,
it's for you. So anyways, that was such a sidetrack.
Yeah.
dear God, newsletters. Yeah. Newsletters. So there's obviously the food ones, but then I also like newsletters. I have a voice to them. And I want to shout out her name is Olivia.
Fader?
Yes.
Olivia is amazing.
What's her last name?
Craighead.
Olivia Craighead.
Yes.
I want to shout her out because the Monday through Friday newsletter is funny. She commits to her voice, and she don't care.
She do not care. I still read Fader newsletter, because it's so good,
right?
And it's short.
Yeah. And there's voice in it, and she does not miss a beat, and it's funny. And I'm like, is this girl a comedy writer?
Olivia. So she got there during the time where I was in a weird place. So I wish I had more time with her, but from being there with her, she went to NYU, and I believe that Olivia was in not theater writing, but something in that world. So she definitely brings so much of that,
I'm theatric. Gonna look up some of the headlines right now.
Yeah, she brings that voice into the newsletter, and it's so funny. She's just, yeah, even in Slack, I would be oh my God, you are hilarious. She just finished college.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this is I don't know. I love her. She's so smart and
so
funny.
I have to read some of these headlines. I can't even get into the meat of some of these.
I know.
This one will be quick. Meet me at Union Pool, because there was this article that was talking about how Union Pool, I think it was in Williamsburg, was a makeout place.
Yes.
Bar soap on your face. We made it. Run away with me. Vegans are the feds. Get out. Baby names, names, baby. Let me read one more. I'm pivoting to naps.
She's crazy.
What?
And the thing is, she's so cute. She's at first, I didn't know she was that turnt. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, she's Olivia's kind of quiet. And then I'm like, wait, what? She's great. She's great.
It's a lot. And I think she should start. I don't know if she wants to, if she wants people to know who she is, in terms of identifying in the newsletter, but she needs to start adding herself.
Something. Because people ask me that all the time. And I'm like, Olivia. They're like, who does the newsletter now?
That's how you know it's a good product.
Yeah. And it's also cool because she makes it, the Fader has it's a one person. You know what I mean? Because she'll be oh, my colleague, Lincoln, she's smart too. She wrote about this.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was just quickly, I want to shout out the BuzzFeed News, Monday through Friday newsletter, because they had a reboot of the newsletter because we had one of our amazing colleagues, Brianne O'Brien, who was doing she had launched the newsletter. And now we have, actually used to work with him on the curation team. His name is Elamine, and he's kind of taken over the newsletter. Mm-hmm. And let me just read some of these subject lines. What snacks do you eat watching the State of the Union address? Justin Trudeau wears socks more at 11. What are some other funny ones that he's done? Trump will meet people richer than him at Davos. I'm like, Elamine. YouTube doesn't want you to eat Tide Pods, and neither do I. They're just good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so personal. It's this is a specific voice.
Right. So shout out to the personal first person newsletter that is distributed through media news platforms.
People need that now too, because Twitter is exhausting, and it's just a bunch of voices that it's oh my God, please can I mute most of y'all and just keep five?
Right.
So it's nice to have a publication just kind of feel like this person that you know.
Right. So anyways,
yeah.
Shout out to Olivia.
Shout out to Olivia. Love you, girl.
Yes. Shout out to Elamine.
Yeah, shout out to Elamine.
And too. Shout out to you, Lakin.
Thanks. Shout out to you, Darian.
I am really excited that I got to speak to you at this specific space in your life. And I'm really excited for what both of us have in store for our lives.
Yes. It's only the beginning of 2018. January was kind of shitty, but I really think that shit's about to
Okay. I received that.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you on
January
that.
Was weird. It was hard.
I thought it was 74 days. Did you
Why
see that
Why was
photo?
It so long? Why was it so long? I was honestly.
No clue.
But here we are in Feb.
And we're thriving and surviving, and our skin looks good.
Looks good.
All right. We out.
Bye.
Am I Allowed to Like Anything is produced by Jason Crow. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope you find it in your hearts to rate us on iTunes. And also, you can follow me on Instagram @Darian, just my first name. I'll see you on the internet.